This next story coming up here on KNKX is part of our weekend show called Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host, Jennifer Wing.
You're listening to Sound Effect on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Jennifer Wing, and our theme today is It's About Time. And the next story is about a race against the clock, a race against time. It involves one man, a $16 cup of coffee, and the war in Yemen. Sound Effect contributor Heba Fischer has the story.
We're here tasting some beautiful coffees.
This is 28-year-old Yemeni-American Mokhtar Al-Khanshari.
This is called a coffee cup-in or taste-in.
He loves coffee. He's the first Arab-certified Q grader, the coffee equivalent of a sommelier for wine. And he's the type of man to randomly recite Arabic poetry about coffee. In early April 2015, the Specialty Coffee Association of America hosted an event here in Seattle for buyers from all across the country to sample new coffees. Mokhtar was eager for this event. He had been working towards it for over a year with coffee farmers on the ground in Yemen to get their coffee to a quality he could debut at the Seattle event. So here was the plan. He was going to fly out from Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, to Seattle for the event. But then the world as he knew it changed.
2 days before I was supposed to leave, I remember I woke up and thought it was a wedding next nearby at first. There were anti-aircraft machine guns. This was when the war began.
The UN envoy warning that Yemen is at, quote, the edge of civil war.
But before we get to the war, let's start at the beginning. Mokhtar grew up between the United States and Yemen. At his grandparents' house in Yemen, he remembers his first introduction to coffee, picking the red coffee berries with his grandmother off the dozens of trees in their garden. Years later, something triggered in Mokhtar's mind to revive Yemeni coffee for global markets. And I say revive because while the first coffee berry was discovered in Ethiopia, the art of brewing coffee, as we know it today, originated in Yemen.
In Yemen, there's all these varietals that grow there that nowhere else in the world has. You know, it's amazing the amount of diversity in genetics there.
So at the end of 2013, Mokhtar went to Yemen to visit different coffee farms, just to see, was the coffee he'd find at a quality he could export to the rest of the world?
I ended up going to 32 different regions in Yemen that grew coffee, 1,000-year-old villages, and the people have been living the same way for generations. Just for a moment, time stops. Every time I would go somewhere, I'd bring a stack of coffee with me, a sample from the one area. And, you know, it was like a little part of the room. Eventually, I filled up all the room. Like, this one room was full of coffee bags from different areas.
After several months gathering samples, Mokhtar decided to test their quality. Some came back with really high marks.
I'm making them some of the most expensive and rarest coffees ever.
But for the most part, his coffee samples tested all over the place in quality.
So I realized the way it was picked and processed, there was no protocol, there was no system in place. And so the result would always be random.
So Mokhtar realized there was some work to be done. Over the next year and a half, he went back and forth between Yemen and the U.S., training his coffee farmers to get things up to quality. Now, moving forward to 2015, Mokhtar planned to attend that big coffee conference in Seattle. Buyers from all over the country would be there to sample his coffee. And that's when, 2 days before Mokhtar was set to fly out of Yemen to attend the conference here in Seattle, the Yemeni war began.
We just woke up and the war began and there was airstrikes and they bombed both airports. They bombed both ports, so we couldn't leave. We tried contacting the State Department. Their official response was, we can't help you, but we can relay your message to your loved ones via our website. It was like a scary, realization not to know if you were gonna live to see the morning. I remember being afraid of that. It was the first time I really felt afraid. And then so the morning I was okay, I have to leave. Next day I went to Mocha, 7-hour drive.
Mocha is a city in the southwest coast of Yemen.
It's a small little port, no one uses it anymore. It was the first port in the world to commercialize coffee. And that's where the name Mocha comes from, coffee. So I went there and we were supposed to take a small ship with like 100 passengers from Somalia. The ship wasn't working, there was no diesel, there was airstrikes, and said instead of a 3-day journey across the Red Sea, you can take a smaller ship. It's like a boat, and it's called a Viper, and it's 1 day only to cross. So I'm like, all right. In my mind, like a Viper, I mean, like a Dodge Viper, like a fast thing, you know, and he meant fiber, like fiberglass. So we get there and it was like this little boat dinghy. You know, no one leaves land, go on ocean, unless they have no other choice. And I remember the first thing I asked the guy when he was taking me, I was like, I want my coffee samples. So he gave me like my bag that I had, is like I had a Samsonite bag with coffee samples in it. I still remember, you know, texting my brother and telling him to my mom and dad I love them before I left on the boat. You know, you're in this giant ocean, it's like these waves crashing on you, and this guy has no like GPS, you don't know, he knows where he's going, you know, and he has one single motor engine. If it dies, you're done, you're stuck. You know, we don't even have any food. And so I didn't think of anything. I just thought about like my mother and my father and seeing them. And then we made it eventually to Djibouti, across the Red Sea.
On April 1st, to be sure he made it to the coffee conference in Seattle on the 11th, Mukhtar traveled 100 miles from Mocha in Yemen to Obok in Djibouti in a tiny fiberglass boat across the Red Sea. He arrived in Djibouti on April 3rd, was detained for a day and a half, and managed to fly out to Kenya. From there, Amsterdam, and finally to Mukhtar's hometown of San Francisco. It was April 7th.
I landed. And the next day I made it to Seattle.
He made it, with time to prep for the event on the 11th.
I had the coffee roasted for the event, got to the conference, these tables set up all over this giant room, and it was the most well-attended coffee tasting in the history of that conference.
What were you thinking while you were there? Were you nervous beforehand?
No, I wasn't nervous. I mean, I hadn't processed anything yet. I was still in shock, but I wanted to finish this conference and do well in it. It was like six different tables in the same set, and each table was the best cup every table. It had a really explosive taste to it right away. Before you even sip, you can smell like the fruitiness notes on it. Papaya, mango, and it was amazing. Strawberries, you know, it was great. It was great coffee. There was a French guy called it my coffee celestial. So I don't know what that means, but all these buyers were there, and it was like, I mean, the price points people were giving me was great. And then
what were some of the price points?
The highest that people ever paid for coffee.
To give you an idea, his coffee sells for $16 a cup of black coffee at Blue Bottle. Since Mukhtar made it to that buying event, it's like the floodgates have opened for him and his coffee brand, Port of Mocha Coffee.
The Blue Bottle sold out within less than 2 months. Our next shipment, it's going to be here in like less than 2 weeks now, and it's going to Slate in Seattle, Quatum in France, in Switzerland, in Asia. Some of the best coffee shops in the world.
Since 2015, Mukhtar has gone back to Yemen and is planning more trips. Most of his family living in Yemen has since left. The Yemeni war is still raging on, making it really difficult to grow and export anything, let alone coffee. But his team is managing, and he's able to pay his farmers some of the highest wages even during the war. And every cup of Port of Mocha coffee ordered comes with Mukhtar's story and the story of Yemen's history in coffee.
That was sound effect contributor Heba Fisher. You can hear more of her work on the podcast Kerning Cultures, which tells stories from and about the Middle East. You can find a link on our website, knkx.org.